Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 232 of Nerd Pride Radio. 232, just 3 days ago, President Trump approved the Section 232 tariff modifications, jacking up tariffs on aluminum and steel especially, and upsetting some of our closest trading partners who are promising to retaliate. So how timely was that? Wow. All right, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How you doing today?
I am awesome, Noah. Thank you for asking. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to hear wrong about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, it's a cardboard cutout of Aiden. Hello, losers! Whoa, hey, come on, cardboard cutout of Aiden. What'd we say about being nice? Ah, screw that noise! I don't need their respect! But I don't need you! Oh, come on, cardboard cutout of Aiden, where are you going? It's just, come on, it's a, oh. Alright, we lost him. Yeah, as it turns out, Aiden said he really needs to catch up on his sleep, so he's sleeping right now, and he would love to be here, but he just can't. And apparently, cardboard cutout of Aiden sounds vaguely like the gingerbread man from Shrek. I don't know why. So, now it's time for the meticulously planned portion of the podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list. The very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight into it. First up, it is a brand new segment that I'm calling Word of Mouth. Yeah, see how cute and clever that was? I love that. That was Devo, by the way. So, the original is just, it, anyway, it's a weird song, but I like the Devo version. So, anyway, the whole point is, I end my podcast every week by telling you that if you want to do something really nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. And then I go on about that for a little bit, and then I tell you that word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. And so, therefore, I was listening to the Flash Forward podcast with Rose Eveleth this week, and she was talking about, among other things, she did a long segment on what it takes to put her podcast together, and it was relevant to her topic. It wasn't specifically a plea for cash, but she was talking about what it takes to put a podcast together and what kind of income she has for that and how things work out. And she mentioned as well that, look, not everybody can contribute. So, you know, if you can't give money, at the very least, you know, spread the word. You know, and she said, that really helps. I really need more people to be listening. And I realized that I need to be doing more of that. I've talked about it before. I share with you guys all the stuff that I love. I really do. And hopefully, you know, that's getting the word out for them. But also, I realized, thank you, Sarah Beth, that sometimes you guys need a little bit more of a nudge. I know I've mentioned the Flash Forward podcast before. Her podcast has inspired more than a couple of topics on this show that I've taken something that she's talked about and I've run with it, sometimes just repeating what she says, sometimes taking it in a new direction. And Sarah Beth reminded me by recommending the LeVar Burton Reads podcast. she recommended it to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, that sounds all right. But then I didn't go listen. And then she recommended it to me again, and I still didn't go listen. And then by the third time she recommended it, I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I really should check that out. And so I did, and I love LeVar Burton Reads. But that's not the word of mouth I'm spreading today. Right now, today, I want to talk about Flash Forward with Rose Eveleth. And all the ones that I talk about here, it's going to be a lot of podcasts and maybe blogs and some online comics and artists that I like and stuff like that. And over the weeks, I'm going to try and do one a week, and they won't always be this long. I'm kind of rambling because this is an intro to it. But each week, I want to feature under word of mouth. I want to give you guys just one thing that I love, something that you should really be checking out and supporting. And then that way, eventually I'll get to the end of my list and go, hey, you know who I haven't talked about in a while, and I will come back. So you will hear me talk about all of these over again, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now. Because, you know, everyone needs a reminder sometimes. So, Flash Forward with Rose Eveleth. It's a futurist podcast. Her basic premise that she uses is that she picks a possible future, all right? And some of them are very silly. What if the Earth's moon suddenly disappeared? What would happen? What if public pressure or economic pressures moved to the government so that they legally mandated that everyone had to be vegans? What if, you know, and then they talk about, and some of them are very real. Some of them are very realistic possibilities of things that are actually in the process of happening now or could very easily happen 10 years from now. Some of them are wild, wacky stuff. But either way, she takes a possible future and she does these little scenes at the beginning where she'll do a little play where they kind of act out a potential future and you get to hear, you know, people speaking from this world. And then she goes and she actually does real interviews with experts and she does real research and she finds the science behind it and finds out what this kind of future would mean for us. What would we really be looking at if this happens? And so, like I say, some of them are just interesting, wacky science, and some of them are exploring actual real issues of the day and extrapolating those into the future to see, is this something we should be concerned about? Is this something we should take action on? And I think it's very smart and it's a lot of fun. She puts a lot of work into it. I think it's wonderful. It's a great podcast. So, if you are not listening to Flash Forward with Rose Eveleth, give it a shot. Listen to a few episodes, see what you think. I really enjoy it. I've been listening to her for several years, and I think she's wonderful. So, it's a good show. There. That was the segment. All right. Now, you know what we haven't done in a long time? A Nerd Pride book report. Yeah, every once in a while, I read stuff. Not often, but every once in a while. And when I do, you gotta know I'm gonna come here and brag about it, right? I read a thing. So, my most recent book is called Prey of the Gods by Nikki Drayden. And Nikki Drayden is actually, a writer from Austin. So, Austin, Texas. As opposed to all the other Austins, and there are actually lots of them around the country. But, she is a writer from Austin, Texas, who has spent a lot of time in South Africa. And Prey of the Gods is a near-future sci-fi fantasy tale of ancient gods rising in a near-future South Africa, in Port Elizabeth specifically. And the premise fascinated me. It came highly recommended. I dug right in. And here's the weird thing about the book. At the 30% mark of this book, I could tell it was really good writing, but it was like I was having trouble connecting with the characters a little bit. Not that I didn't get them. I got them. But man, everybody's broken and everybody's unlikable in some way. And I wasn't feeling connected to the characters. And at 30%, it was like, well, but I'm this far in and it is a great world. And I really should, you know what, I'll just bear with it. And like just a couple pages after that, all of a sudden, it's like something clicked, and I'm like, oh, I'm hooked. I'm in. All right, and then, boy, you get me to the 70% mark, the 80% mark in this book, and I am telling people that, oh my God, this is one of the greatest things I've ever read. This is fantastic. This is a world where I don't want to give anything away other than the rise of ancient gods is something that they put on the back cover, so that one's not a surprise. But the interactions of these people as they all come together, it is just, it's a horror story. It's a fantasy story. It's a science fiction story. And I think the items there are meshed well. And it's really gritty and really dark. And I am just loving it. And then I got to the end of the book and I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, what about the, but you didn't, you never told us what happened to, oh man. And so, like literally resolved some stuff. And then there were just a couple of hanging plot points that like weren't like minor plot points. It was like, you know, world changing plot points that, oh, well, we defeated the bad guy and everything just goes back to what? And it was, super broken at the end. I was so disappointed there. But here's the thing. I still recommend it. One of the things I really liked about the book was that difficulty I had with the characters in the beginning, and maybe other people won't. Maybe it's just because I'm, such an insulated middle-class white dude that I couldn't relate. Who knows? But, eventually it did all click with me, and they are characters that are really, really hard to love, and yet they force you to love them anyway. All of them. And it's just, it really caught me. And I really enjoyed it. And like I say, the world is brilliant. The things that she put together, just make it so cool. I would love to see a follow-up to this. I would love to see her give us some explanation of, hey, what happened to the thing that was, man, could you, but either way, I'm gonna check it out. So I'm going to check out more stuff by her. Sorry, I'm reading from my notes. I posted something on my website here and I was reading from my notes and I just, anyway, I'm sorry. I'm babbling because I can't read my own work. But yes, even though I think it's broken, I do recommend it because it's fascinating and I will be reading more stuff by her because I like her style. I like the way she writes. So, anyway, that was Prey of the Gods. That was my Nerd Pride book report. Sweet. Now, guess what?
Fingertips.
That's right. It's time for fingertips. It's just stuff that's on my list and I'm not developing it into a full topic. And so therefore, I just bring it here so I can just get it out. So, first off, this one says, No Joy in Mudville is the entry. And that is my code to myself that says, yeah, not going to Gen Con this year. I'm a little sad about that because I've been to Gen Con several years in a row and I really love Gen Con and I love the people. I love the games. I love just the excitement of it. It is always a ton of fun, but as it works out this year, nobody else can make it. And for very good reasons, and I'm not gonna, everybody else has their own stuff. If they want to share, they can share. But, as it turns out, the people that I usually travel with, the Nerd Pride crew, as it were, we're just not gonna be able to make it this year. So, and that's okay. You know what? We've been several years in a row. I'm going next year for sure because it's Eli's first year to go. He'll be 16 then, and we're going to have an awesome time with that. But for this year, you know, Lisa and I are taking the big vacation to Canada, and we're going to do a lot with that. And so, you know what? Maybe this is for the best. Maybe this is... So I'm not going to be doing Gen Con. I'm sad about it, but you know what? We'll get back there. It'll be all right. All right. Now, the next one... Next one just says, my brother-in-law. And, I don't know that I should really... I don't know if I should really bring this one up on the podcast. So, because I have no idea what's going on with it at this point. So, you know what? I'm just gonna tell you that right now, as far as I know, no one's life is in danger and, no one's in any legal trouble that I'm aware of, but, somebody shot somebody. Wow. How about that? Weird, huh? So, but again, all my information is third hand and you know what? I should save this one. I should save this until I know more details because boy, it's really tough. And no, nobody that I'm related to or that my wife is related to got shot. So, but it was an interesting story. Oh man, I wish I could tell you guys this story. Boy, I shouldn't have just not brought it up at all because now I've just teased you with a shooting And, that's not fair. But you know what? I'm still not going to tell you. All right. Next up, I know. Yeah, funny, right? Next up, it says tips. Oh, man, you know what? Tipping. The more I think about it, the more I hear that there's a movement going on, and this woman has been, she has appeared on a couple of the Crooked Media podcasts to talk about tipping, and the way she talks about it, tipping is, to her, it is bigoted, it is racist, it is, or it has racist origins, that the whole point of tipping, the reason it was instituted, the people who who have to survive on tips because the wages that go with them are so low, that this is all an extension of slavery. I don't know how valid those points are, but the points that she does make that are for sure valid, whether I go with the whole hog with all the rest of it, the points that she makes that are valid is tipping is stupid. Tipping is not by itself stupid. You know what? If you like somebody's work so much that you want to give them a little extra, you want to give them a little something to show that you appreciate the extent that they've gone to, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But the idea of mandatory tipping, because some places have mandatory tipping, or the idea of my wage, my survival depends on your tipping. It depends on hundreds of random customers coming in and all of them deciding to give me enough money for me to make my rent this month. As opposed to, you know what, if you're waiting tables in a restaurant, just pay a living wage, period. Just pay a living wage. If people want to tip, they can tip, but they don't have to. That's not, pay them a living wage. And people, I say this to people, and I literally get the response of, well, yeah, but then what happens when you get bad service? How do you, you know, the whole point of, to them, the whole point of tipping is to let them know whether or not I think they've done a good job or a bad job. And if I don't have that control, if I don't have the ability to give them a bad tip, then what's to stop them from giving me shitty service? Where's their motivation to be good at their job? To which I always reply, what's your motivation to be good at your job? Because it's your job. Because you have a boss. You have people that supervise and monitor you, supposedly. That if you don't do your job well and you get a lot of complaints or that people notice you're being sloppy, that you might lose your job. That's your motivation to do a good job. It's at what other place do you go where you get to decide how, I mean, like literally, I went to the doctor, got a checkup, and it turns out that, you know what? All my vitals were good. My blood work came out great. He renews my prescriptions. I get a bill for it. And I say, yeah, you know what, doc? That was fine, but I don't think you really had to do that much. So I'm just going to give you a 20 and we're going to call it even. How about that? Yeah, I know what your bill says, but how about I just give you 20 bucks? Because seriously, I don't think you did everything you could. I mean, seriously, tipping is stupid. Is these, especially restaurant servers, but there are other tip positions, but that's the big one, where they are allowed, employers are allowed to pay them $2.15 an hour. And therefore, they rely on tips. They have to rely on tips to survive. It is the only job that we do that to people with. The only one. We shouldn't be allowed to. It's stupid. It's regressive. It's terrible. We need to stop the whole institution of tipping. Just needs to be completely revised. The concept in California does this, by the way. California says that restaurant workers, even when they receive tips, still have to receive minimum wage, period. You have to be paid minimum wage no matter what. That's just the law. And it's a good one. But we need to see that all across the country. We need to see this change a lot. Because, again, here's one of the points that she said that I do agree with, is that when you are talking about food service, when you're talking about service, a bartender that I ran into a while back, and I had to watch the stuff she put up with in the bar, watch the leers and the overt sexualization and the really shitty treatment she was receiving from a couple of guys. And she took it with a smile, and she didn't encourage them, but she also didn't discourage them because, well, her getting paid depends on her being nice to people who treat her like shit. Her living wage depends on her being nice to people who are abusive to her and who, it was just grotesque. It was terrible. And yet that's her job. And I'm sitting there watching the entire thing thinking that I should say something to these guys. I mean, I was only standing there for 5 minutes. I went in to pick up a to-go order. And so I'm waiting at the bar and she's getting my stuff together and these guys will not let up. And it is wildly inappropriate, obviously wildly inappropriate. And yet she's handling it. She's taking care of it, but she's also, there's nothing in the atmosphere, nothing in the interactions there, nothing that told these guys that what they were doing was not acceptable. And I kept feeling like somebody needs to tell these guys that this shit is unacceptable. And yet I also felt like if I stepped up and said anything, that she wouldn't appreciate it because I would be costing her money. Because, it's grotesque. We shouldn't be dealing with that. Shouldn't have to. She should have just had the right to tell them, hey, you know what? You keep it up, we'll throw you out of here. That's it. And a lot of people do that. That is something that even tipped, you know, employees. They do that sometimes. But in this particular case, she had decided that, you know what? We're just going to tolerate it because, you know what? No reason to make a scene. Don't want to get a reputation as being difficult to work with. Don't want to, whatever. And so she put up with it, but she shouldn't have to. She just throw them out, but whatever. All right. Anyway, that's my rant on tipping. I should have just done a whole nerd rage on that, but oh well. All right. Next up is McDonald's drive-thru. All right. McDonald's drive-thru, at least in my area, has turned into one of the most efficient, fastest, and accurate drive-thrus around. It's awesome. All right. That part is great because, and it's annoying that I place my order at the speaker, all right? I place my order where the menu board is, and then before I can move on, they have to repeat my entire order back to me. I'm looking at it on the board. I can see it spelled out, and yet they have to repeat the entire thing back to me and have me verify. All right. And then I pull up to the next window, well, first window, and before they take my money to pay for it, they read back my order to me, the entire order, to make sure I verify that, yes, that's my order. Okay, well, then I give them money, and I pay for it.
They do that at the second window because the drive-thru's line might have mixed up from them. So
right, that's exactly true. But they used to just give you the first item. They'd say, okay, you had the two Big Macs and the large nuggets and yeah, that was mine. Okay. No, now they insist on reading the entire thing. But then here's the bit. They read it to me at the menu when I ordered it. They read it at the first window before they take my money. But then they read the whole thing back to me again at the second window before they hand me the food. And it is, again, annoying that I have to wait because for me, you know, I guess if I were coming through and it's just, you know, just one guy ordering a number three combo for himself and that's all he's getting, this is easy. You had the number three? Yep, done. Yep. But me, I'm ordering for the whole family, and so therefore, it's a long list of stuff, and we don't order just, you know, a couple of simple meals. No, it's all mixed up, and anyway, it's a long list. But the end result of them doing that is I always get the right food. They always give me everything on my order. There's never a mix-up, and they're still really fast and efficient about it, which is cool. So I appreciate what McDonald's does. Like I can say, it's a little annoying to have to sit through the whole thing being read back how many times, but man, it has really improved their accuracy. So I'm all for that. The part that bothers me is while they instituted this, they somehow have gotten their shit together so that it used to be that if I pulled up and I saw that there was a huge line at the drive-thru, like where the line wraps around the building, oh, no problem. I'll just go park at the front door. I'll run into the counter. I'll make my order there. I'll get my stuff wicked fast. I'm out the door and gone. All right. And so I can be pulling out and only like two or three cars have gone through at this point. Woo. I just saved myself 15 minutes. This is great. But now with this new efficiency, I honestly don't, I don't understand how the timing meshes out, but it turns out that I walk in, I place my order, and as I'm placing my order, I'm watching the orders coming in from the drive-thru, because they've got a whole light-up board that shows the numbers of everybody coming through, and I'm watching it, and I'm watching it, and it's like, oh, you know what, if I had just gone through the drive-thru and sat there, I would have gotten my food exactly as fast as walking in. That is, it is weird, because A, I don't know how they make sure it all meshes up that well, and B, what, I used to have that shortcut, it used to be a magic shortcut that you walk in the door, get your stuff, and you're gone. And now, no, you walk in, well, yeah, but these other people who are online in the drive-thru are also customers, and they lined up before you lined up, so therefore, they're going to get your food before you get your food. It's only fair. It just, it's frustrating. Darn it. Oh, well, I'll deal with it. All right, and then the last thing I have, and I'm not going to dwell on it, I just need to get it off my list, is I was listening to John McWhorter, and who I love because he does the Lexicon Valley podcast, and it is amazing. Oh, man, if you love to hear people prattle on about words and language uses and the evolving language, oh, man, he's brilliant. If you're not into that stuff, all right, maybe it's a little much. But, oh, my God, he's so fun. All right, and so he was talking about fucking insertions. And, right, I know. It, fucking insertions. It's where you insert the word fucking into the middle of another word. So, for example, his hometown of Philadelphia, which you could then use a fucking insertion to make it Philafuckingdelphia, if you needed to. And it, that works out really well. Right, I'm using the F word, but only very clinically here, because I have to discuss the word. Yeah. It's all right. And so he talked about what types of words really mesh with this process. And, you know, he said there are certain ones, and he says it has to be the right number of syllables, the right number of beats. The beats have to be in the right places. So Philafuckingdelphia works really well. Cleve-fucking-land? Yeah, doesn't have the right ring, does it? Doesn't work out. But as he went through a whole list of these, and he was, you know, showing how this process works and how it affects language, he got to unbelievable. And to me, I always have seen it or thought of it as unfucking believable. And he said, but if you follow the Philadelphia pattern and the pattern of all these others, it actually should go between the second and third syllable. It should be unbefucking-leavable. And then the minute he said it, I'm like, oh, that sounds so much better. And he said, see, that sounds better. That's more poetic, isn't it? It feels better. Unbefucking-leavable. Oh, that's great. And so I tested Aiden, who is not here.
I'm not here!
Right. But, I tested Aiden and I said, okay, where would you put it in the word unbelievable? And he actually put it right in the middle where McWhorter suggested. So Aiden was already on top of it. Maybe that's how you guys all already say it. I don't. So, it's not a, you know, fucking insertion is not a thing that I use very often. I don't insert, swears into the middle of words very often. I think it's very effective for emphasis. It's a really cool process. It's just not one I usually think of, in my normal speech. Not that I'm afraid of swear words. I use them quite frequently. I just never think of doing it that way. So, there you go. That was fucking insertions. Did you learn something? All right. We are now going to skip ahead to the Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio.
Wait,
what?
I need to get over here.
Well, you can get over here while I'm reading. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out, well, not even close to the end this time, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send me send me your question or topic by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums, and I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Sorry, Noah is over here on my keyboard moving the mouse around, and I got completely distracted because I don't know what he's going to do here. So, apparently he wanted to pause it to explain why he came over here. So that's why I just said so twice. Anyway, we're here, and our first number is 98. Well, that means I have to go way down this list. Hold on a second. All right, it's from Walrus, and Walrus says, acoustic or plugged in? Depends on the song. I think I like the sound of acoustic better, but not by much. I mean, there's most of the songs that I listen to are you know, electric instruments. Doesn't matter to me, really. Like I say, if I had to pick one over the other, and that's all I get for the rest of my life, I'll say acoustic. But don't make me choose. They're both great. 07. All right, almost as far as apart as possible on this list. 07 comes from Mrs. Darks.
Can I read this one?
Sure, go ahead.
Number 13. Don't know why it says that. Are you going to get a slot in Playtest Hall for God Ball?
It's very tiny print. And yes, that is our intent. Obviously, not this year, because we're not going this year. But Dave and I have decided that our goal with God Ball right now is we really, really want to have God Ball playtest ready by next year. That no matter what shape it's in by next year, we want to have the most recent copy printed up. We'd love to have a professional version of it done, but even if we don't, we want to take whatever we have and run it in Playtest Hall next year. Absolutely. So.
68
almost. 68 is from Produce Farmer. Hey, Produce Farmer, speaking of Canada.
Super excited to hear more stories about you pets.
Your pets.
You pets is what
I understand.
Oh. Is there any one personality quirk you could share with us right now?
Yes. Hold on. Noah has a tick on his back, and I'm removing it right now. Oh my god, we just came from camping, and the ticks were bad. This is a teeny tiny one, but hold on, let me check his back. Make sure I got it all out. Yep, it's gone. Ooh. Just a little hole in his back, he's fine. Yeah, it is. Ugh, man, the ticks were crazy. Like you got in your tent, and then
you
with
the
light coming in through the tent, yeah, you look in and you can just see the shadows of ticks. Just, they're everywhere this time.
15,000.
And we didn't pick a ton of them off of us while we were out. There's been times it's been worse, but they were all over. And we got enough of them. So, I haven't found any on me since I got home. I've been super paranoid about it, but Noah has one. So I'm now holding it between my fingers. I'm gonna have to go get rid of this guy. So hold on just a moment. Done and done. Back to Produce Farmer's questions. Okay.
I mean, Raven has one personality quirk. She doesn't know how to be an actually functioning cat.
Yeah, I don't.
And like Eli was playing a game where it had like guns, and Raven rubbed up against his controller so hard it hit the fire button and it killed an innocent person.
I don't know if I've shared this about Raven before, but she does. She wants to be affectionate. She's super shy, but she wants affection. She wants love, and she does not know how to ask for it. Not for nothing. This cat is so socially awkward that when she finally comes up to ask for love, she will come up, she'll meow a little bit, and she will stumble drunk into you. It is like literally like a drunk person just randomly just headbutting you. She'll slam the side of her body into you. It just, no finesse, no grace whatsoever. It's just, love me! Love me! And so then, you know, you do because you can't help it. I mean, there's just no, you can't resist that. On the other hand, Godot is here because Jacob is at home since he graduated from college, and he is working on finding a job, and so therefore he's at home for a little bit, and he has brought Godot with him, who is an interesting mix. Godot is very much a teenager-style cat, and he is, man, he wants to be independent, but he wants to love people, and he loves Jacob more than anybody. He's just, he's finicky, but I don't know. I don't have any really great stories about him other than watching him play with Miles the Hedgehog, which is awesome fun.
Miles has a small personality quirk of he loves being a little jerk.
He is. Well, because he's a hedgehog. Hedgehogs are jerks. The tragedy of hedgehogs is that hedgehogs are mammals, and so they are just as much in need of cuddling and love as any other mammal, and yet they are so prickly they can't get it. Hedgehog cuddling is very, very difficult. Hedgehog sex is something that they have to be super careful about. It is just it's torturous being a hedgehog. And so they are consistently super grumpy animals. But Miles is
grumpier.
You know what? For being a grump, though, just to watch him when he relaxes and he huffs and chuffs and his spines kind of lay down a little bit. And you look at him and you think he's acting like he's grumpy, but if you go to pet him, his spines just lay right down. He's not poking you. So, okay. I mean, just cute.
One of the cutest forms of him is him outside, in our backyard.
Oh, man, yes. He loves playing in the grass. He could do that for hours. He will wear himself out grabbing anything, mostly dandelions, but he will grab anything that smells interesting to him and then just start rubbing it all over his spines. And it's cute. Oh, and also, hey, we have, in our front yard, literally right in the middle of our front yard, right next to our sidewalk, we have a small hole in the ground with 7 baby bunnies in it. So how cool is that crap, huh? Oh man, they're not really pets, and I don't know what kind of personalities they have, but they're adorable.
Yeah, I held one this morning.
05. This is going to have to be the last one, and I have a good reason for that.
Long listener betrayal.
Oh man, Kyle opened it last weekend, so it's been open for a week. So, yes.
I'm sorry, he opened it?
Yes, Kyle decided, we'll get to it. Okay. Alright, anyway, this one's from Mrs. Darks. So, hey, guess what we had today? No Kyle and no Ronster in today's listener betrayal. How weird is that? No, that's just unusual because the two of them together have more than half the list. So, assuming they owned exactly half, here, hold on, let's do a little math.
I'm sorry, hold on, I just looked at something and I see
Kyle? Ronster, together they own 60% of the list. So, hold on. So that means that the chances of not getting one of them in 4 questions is 4/10 to the 4th power. So what's 4 to the 4th power? That would be 256. So 256 out of 1,000. So 25% chance. I guess it's not that bad. No, it's got to be more than that. But because it would normally be... No, I'm doing this wrong. It'd be 256 out of 10,000.
By the way, Dad, quickly.
It's only a 2.5% chance. There, that's rare. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry for looking at your tabs, but one of the tabs at the bottom of this Google spreadsheet thing is POM, which stands obviously for Potomatic. But then there's Ron. Why is there Ron? What did Ron do?
Oh, well, Ron sent me 216 Potomatic questions.
Right.
So this is the pool of Ron, and then anytime we start running low on Ron,
I just take
a few out of the pool and add them in.
Every time you lose a Ron, you add a Ron.
Yeah, essentially. It's a weird balance, but yes, I have a little calculator on the side that tells me how short or long I am on Ron's. So
wait, where's the Ron?
Ron calculator is right there. And it shows me, right now we're way long on Ron's. It says I would actually have to take out 5 Ron's to get him back to the level we want. So, Ron, you haven't been showing up enough. You're gonna have to start getting better dice, man. Alright, anyway, the question from Mrs. Darks was, which Big Bang Theory characters would each member of your family play, and why? Alright. Here's the problem is I don't know, some of the most recent ones. I know the big 7, because there would be the 4 main guys, plus, Penny and, Farrah Fowler and, who's the other one? Why am I not thinking right now? I've got, who's the third girl? God darn it, there's There's Penny. There's Blossom. And, the one that's married to Howard. What is the actress's name? Anyway, I don't know. So, I know them. All right. So who would they play? I would put, God, other than Eli being Sheldon, only because Eli is not Sheldon, but he is the most Sheldon of everyone in the family, as far as temperament goes, which is still not very Sheldon, but he's more Sheldon than the rest of us. So I would put Eli in that position. And then...
Is Sheldon the one that is basically... He's supposed to be autistic, but the people that write it say...
Right, he's the autistic character that the writers insist is not autistic. Yes, that is correct.
He just acts autistic.
Right. Oh, man. All right, my wife would have to be either Penny because she's so hot, or Amy Farrah Fowler because she's so smart, but I'm torn on that one. So I'm going to go with hot. But, you know, it's a toss-up for me. That would leave Noah. Noah, I'm going to put you in. Yeah, I am. I'm going to put you in as Leonard.
Yay!
You are the dorky but brilliant everyman. You're the one that is most relatable, to the people. Aiden is going to be Howard. Not because Aiden, acts like Howard, but because he is the most Howard of them all. So
as
that would be.
In...
Well, Howard Howard's kind of a perv, and he thinks he's a ladies' man, but he's not. And, that seems to be his defining sitcom traits. But, yeah, and I'll put Aiden in that boat, but Aiden's not like that, but he would be more like that than any of the others. And that leaves, sadly, Jacob to be Raj, and Jacob does not fit Raj at all. Jacob would be also more of a Leonard himself. Not as much of a Leonard as Noah, but, you know, there you go.
What's Raj's characteristics?
Raj is, from India, and he is brilliant, and for most of the show, he is a selective mute in that he is unable to speak when there are women present unless he's been drinking. So, ooh, sirens. I hope everybody's okay. There they go. So there. That's all I've got for the moment. I have not watched Big Bang Theory in several years, so I'm not as up on this as I really should be. But there you go. Oh, wait. And then I forgot me. I would also be Penny because I'm so hot, obviously.
Dad.
So
Dad,
there you go.
Dad, you can't pick yourself.
I will make my wife becomes a hotter version of Amy Farrah Fowler because she's so smart, and then I get to be Penny because I'm so adorable. I'm very cute in a very ditzy sort of way, and that's okay.
Dad, I'm now.
And, you know, from Nebraska. There you are.
Dad, I'm now going to force you to put up the most unflattering picture of your face that you currently have.
With the face that I currently have, or a picture that I currently have? A picture. I knew what you meant. I'm kidding. All right.
I want you to make a picture of your current
face. No. They've all seen pictures of me. That man. More sirens. I really hope everybody's okay. But they've all seen me. They've seen pictures of me. Many of them have met me in person. They know how hot I am. There's no denying it. So I think we're all good. Tell you what. You and I can debate this later, but I'm going to turn this over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was, what was it? It was Read a Book by They Might Be Giants. It was Bread and Butter by Devo. And Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. There you go. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. Wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member. No, it's not a proud member of Nerd. Why do I leave that into my credits? If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write me a nice review, or better yet, write me a crappy review and give me 5 stars, because it's the stars that make a difference. But if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends.
And make your own podcast. Join the new Nerd Pride Network.
If you enjoy it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it, because word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal, and if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message, we'll hang out together, we'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it is time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook, and I post up, "Hey guys, I am recording right now. Anything you say will be read off at the end of the podcast," which is what I'm doing right now. Except this week we have an exception, because last week, I have been for several weeks complaining that I'm not, well, yes, I've been complaining. I've been trying to phrase it humorously, but it's me complaining that I'm not getting any responses on Listener Betrayal when I put them on my forums. And so therefore, Kyle, my sweet brother, trying to help me out, last Saturday started Listener Betrayal early, hoping that he would then, you know, get people rallying around him and that we would have enough Listener Betrayal for whenever I decided to record, whether it was Saturday, Sunday, whatever. Awesome. Turns out I didn't record last week because, well, things. And so therefore, we now have 8 days of Listener Betrayal piled up. I have no idea how much is in there. I have no idea how long it is. We'll get to that in just a minute. We're going to start off over on Facebook first. And on Facebook, I said, "Now recording episode 232. Reply here to join me. Also, how you doing today?" Awesome, right? Okay. First, David Laws. He says, "Bailing out my sunken porch and waiting for my kids to bring sandbags and wondering how much of this might be covered by my insurance. How are you?" Oh my God, man, I'm sorry. That sounds terrible.
What?
I hope insurance covers it. That sounds awful. Apparently, his house is flooding because of weather. So, yeah, that's bad. Also, he says, "If you haven't seen Upgraded, it's a good sci-fi thriller, and Tom Hardy puts in a great performance, especially the physicality of playing a quadriplegic with a computer moving his limbs for him." Awesome. Upgraded looks great. It looks like exactly the sort of thing I want to see. It has not come to my theater, so therefore, I don't have the option yet. What I do want to see is I want to see Action Point, because, I'm sorry, I find Jackass funny, I find Johnny Knoxville entertaining, and Action Point, based on a true story, looks really funny. So, I want to see that. And then...
Is it still continuing? Are you still continuing the thing? Are you still continuing that?
Oh, yes. You just quit getting so anxious.
Okay.
you'll see. And then, next week, my wife and I are super excited to go out and see Ocean's 8. Because I think that looks great. So, anyway, that's what's up. Oh, and then Tag. Tag is coming out sometime soon. And whenever Tag comes out, I have to see that. But, you know, I got a movie pass, so, yeah, if I've got a night to see Upgraded and it's here in town, sure, I'll go see it. That's awesome. Cool. All right.
And now, then next up is from Nerd Pride Radio. They say, "Hi, Dad, I stole your phone. If you had a podcast for interviewing, how does it run?
Okay.
Dream interview? Its name? Any co-hosts? Anything else? Noah."
All right. Noah, apparently... as I was getting all of my notes organized, he stole my phone and posted up to this as himself. Well, as me, but then signed it himself. So, "Hi, Dad, I stole your phone. If you had a podcast for interviewing, how does it run?" Well, I don't know. I would probably...
I meant to say that as in, how would you set up every episode?
Right. More than likely, it would be... I would be looking for like half-hour interviews, but, you know, if I get people who are interesting to hang out longer for a conversation, that's what I really like, is I like conversational podcasts. I would like something in between the research and detail that goes into Hot Ones, but with the more conversational style of The Nerdist, for example, and Chris Hardwick. And which actually, I know exactly what that is. That would be the WTF podcast with Mark Maron, where he does really good research. He doesn't do as good a research as Hot Ones does, and Sean Evans. At least I don't think he does, in my opinion. But he does do pretty good research. Mark Maron is really good at what he does. But I also find, Mark Maron's style to be, it's a little negative and a little off-putting, and I mean, as much as I love a lot of the information he gets, I would rather be more upbeat, like Chris Hardwick. So therefore, that's what I'd be shooting for. And, the kind of people I would be interviewing is, I would start with interviewing, occasionally, just some of my friends, just having a different, so when you say any co-hosts, sometimes it would just be bringing on someone that I've never talked to, on the podcast, and just have them sit down for a conversation with me talking about stuff that they're into, things going on, anything interesting that they have to plug, whatever. But also mixed in with people I know, I would try to get the kind of people that I am plugging on the word of mouth segment, the kind of smaller, you know, these are people who probably aren't making money necessarily at whatever their endeavor is, but they are a public figure to a degree, that not a celebrity necessarily, but someone who's doing good work that I appreciate and I think needs to be better known, and I would love to talk to people like that.
Oh, this would list them so, or anything else.
But then, you know, look, dream interview? Oh, man. For a dream interview, I suppose my dream interview at this point would be, because I'm thinking of Felicia Day, who I have already interviewed, but I would love to interview her again, and I think that would be wonderful. And for those of you
interviewed Felicia Day, by the way, who is Felicia Day?
Felicia Day from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog and other stuff, but that was my favorite. And Kyle and I interviewed her on the Animal Cast years and years ago on a different podcast. And so, but I would love to interview her or Nathan Fillion or Neil Patrick Harris. Any of the three of them from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog would be spectacular. I would love to do that. That would be a dream. But there are so many others. So many. So, I mean, people will drop names on me and go, yeah, but what if you interviewed this person? And I'll go, oh my God, yeah, you're right. No, that would be awesome too. There are so many cool people in the world. But to start off, just again, people I know, people who are just doing great work and maybe they don't have the recognition yet that I think they deserve, or that they do have the recognition, but not the money that goes with it, that kind of thing. And I would love doing that. I would have a great time with that. But that's not really what I'm about. I've thought about doing interview stuff, but it's a more demanding schedule. So probably not something I'm going to get into. But, you know, I've thought about it a lot. So, let's see. Sarah Beth then says, 3 hours into the 12-hour drive back from the Great American Brass Band Festival in Danville, Kentucky, it's so beautiful there, I'm in love. Have you ever been there? And what's the longest road trip you've ever done without stopping to spend the night some Seymour? Where? Pat doesn't ever let me drive on these trips for several reasons. Do you switch off drivers when you do long road trips? Hope you had a great couple weeks. Missed your voice on Monday, but figured you guys were having awesome holiday weekend adventures instead. I don't remember that it was necessarily awesome weekend adventures, but yeah, we were doing something and we were very tired and ultimately, it just didn't work out. So, now that was 2 hours ago that she posted this. So she's actually now 5 hours into the 12-hour drive back from the Great American Brass Band Festival in Danville, Kentucky. I have driven through Kentucky, but when I did so, I was a little kid and I remember it being, interesting and pretty country, but it's not like I paid much attention to be able to really appreciate the beauty of the land. And so therefore, I've been there, but it's not spent any time or was old enough to appreciate it, really. What is the longest road trip you've ever done without stopping to spend the night somewhere? That would be a 24-hour trip from Lincoln, Nebraska to Mexico Beach, Florida. And that was a 24-hour drive back in those days, and it was a 24-hour straight through. My roommate and I did it, and we switched off. We have done almost as long, well, not almost, 18-hour trips instead of 24-hour trips. We've done those getting from Nebraska to Texas to see my parents. And on those trips, we've done those straight through, and almost always I drive the whole way. I just do. If I, you know, if it's really desperate, I have three other drivers in the car usually. And so if it's desperate, I'll let someone else take over. But most of the time, you know, look, I've got people to talk to and music to listen to, and we have interesting conversations, and it all works out really well. But if you guys can hear that, I'm sorry, I had to pause there. My wife is in the middle of a very intense phone call with she's teaching summer school this summer, and she's discussing a student, and so she's pacing the house as she's on the phone, and I don't think she realizes I'm recording it here, so she keeps wandering in, and so I'm just pausing it until she wanders back out again. So that's all that was. But like I say, I usually just drive because I've always got people around me, and it's not like I have problems staying awake, and I don't mind driving as long as, you know, I'm being entertained. And then when it gets late and everyone starts to fall asleep, I put in my earphones and plug in a podcast, and I listen to podcasts, and I have a good time. I don't mind driving. I like it, so it's fine. Let's see. Although my wife is a way better driver than I am, so I don't know why she doesn't drive more, but usually if we're both in the car, I drive. So, and then that should be it. So, thank you, Sarah Beth. Moving on. Next is from Iantha. Iantha says, the progeny and I had a great time at Grand Rapids Festival of the Arts today. Oh, awesome. That's cool. Yeah, I've seen pictures, and my God, your daughter's getting old. God, they all grow up fast. That is weird, isn't it? It's just every time I see her, I'm like, yeah, she was just a little thing. Anyway. Let's see. Talvin says, I'm tired. We were up late for my daughter's high school graduation. Go, Shannon. Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's right. I saw the pictures of that one too. So how awesome for you. And I thought you said, one left. You've got one left to go. If I'm right. Anyway, either way, congratulations, Shannon. That's awesome. He then says, how awesome is DM Darks? Oh, so awesome. When is the Paranoia game going to wrap up? Thoughts on the new version of Pathfinder currently being worked on. Okay. The latest game of Paranoia will wrap up. I don't know. It is, I mean, like literally we're in a position where I can see two moves from now, three moves from now. It could be done. But if people decide to do something really bizarre, it might take a little longer. But I mean, like, we are just, you know, a week or two from being finished with this thing. So, it's very close. If you were playing in it, and I don't know if you are or not, but if you were, that's where we are. Thoughts on the new version of Pathfinder currently being worked on? No, I'm excited about it though. I'm getting most of my information from Jeff Hawes, who is super intense, and really super deep and analytical, and it is, and he's right now super passionate about the Pathfinder rework. And then, I guarantee you that 3 years from now, 2.5 years from now, he is going to be bitter about all the things that are wrong with the Pathfinder reboot. But for right now, oh man, he loves this thing. So I'm really, and again, he's very critical of certain things, but it's also, you know, it's in beta. So what are you going to do? Or alpha testing even? I don't even know. But yes, Pathfinder finally, after how many years, is getting a reboot. And they are fixing up some of the things that, like, they learned. I think Starfinder was a way for them to test out some of their new ideas, and they've kind of learned from that even, and so now they're taking those lessons and applying it to a new version, and so they've got a test version of Pathfinder out there that I'm excited to see where it goes. I haven't gotten in on it yet. Just don't have the time for it right now. But interestingly, I went back to 2007, and I was listening to some old Animal Cast episodes, my brother and I, because I was looking for a specific quote from him. And so it would have been right around October of 2007-ish. I think 2007 is the right year. But anyway, whatever time frame it was over a decade ago. And I'm looking for a specific quote from him, which I cannot find. But in the meantime, as I'm listening through episodes of that that time period, I came across an interview that we did with James Jacobs, who at the time was the head of Paizo's Pathfinder initiative, as it were. And I'm not even current enough to know how involved James Jacobs is anymore, if he's even with Paizo anymore. I assume he is. I have no idea. But we did an interview with him, and at the time, Pathfinder was not yet a thing. Like, we had the Pathfinder adventure arcs, the Zero to Hero, modules, the books that they were putting together that they were doing for Dungeons & Dragons 3.5. But while we were interviewing him, 3.5 was being shut down, Paizo was no longer contracted to Wizards of the Coast, and Pathfinder, Paizo was beginning to put together their own Pathfinder role-playing game so that they could continue their adventures. But they hadn't actually put anything out yet, and we were interviewing James Jacobs at that moment, didn't even realize how pivotal a time period that was. I have not listened to the entire interview, because I'm afraid to get to embarrassing questions that show us how out of touch we were with what was actually going on, how clueless we were to the changes happening at that moment, within the industry. But yeah, wow, how fascinating. How fascinating that I actually talked to the guy as they were putting the first edition together, and now they're working on the second one. I'm interesting. So yes, they're doing a second edition of Pathfinder. Yes, sir.
So we're gonna have to start a whole new run.
We're not gonna start over at all. In fact, we'll probably we'll keep playing the edition we have right now we just have the Pathfinder first edition. It's just Pathfinder. It's
now,
not even.
Are we gonna keep going with our story?
Yeah, and we will. When the new edition comes out, we may or may not keep the same characters, or we may just wait and hold the new books until we're ready to.
The Black Skin.
Yeah, I understand that.
We kind of drove away from it, and there's much more.
Okay. Sorry, I'm cutting you off only because they can't hear you from over there. Or
yes,
can't hear
they
you.
Can!
So, but the. My intent is we'll look at it. When we finally get a copy of it, we'll see how we like it, and if we want to convert the characters we have or a set of characters we have, awesome. And if we don't want to convert them and we just decide to wait around and not use it until the next time we start new characters, that's fine too. That works for me.
I was hoping that we would get back to that because we kind of left off.
Yes, we did leave some stuff hanging, and would be interesting to see it again.
And we have a bunch of dwarves we can recruit into our guild. So.
That is true. So, yeah, we'll see.
With the dwarves, yeah, we pretty much went into a lizard camp, murdered a bunch of lizard men.
Yeah, but the problem is right now, if we have time, we want to play Starfinder.
Yeah, but you can keep doing both. This new one. I see what they did with Starfinder and the new edition. They put them both out at the same time, so people still played Pathfinder.
They got Starfinder out last summer, and then... 6 months later or so, they start putting out the new Pathfinder stuff so that they could, again, take some of the lessons they learned from Starfinder to start applying it to a new version and making it even better. So
we may be able to get new races, like the actual races in.
Well, here's the thing that I'm hoping is I don't know how different Pathfinder is going to be from Starfinder. I mean, look, they're two different settings, two different games, so they should have different rules anyway. But I'm afraid of the idea of Pathfinder, the new edition of Pathfinder, comes out with a better way to do things, and then Starfinder feels kind of broken because, oh yeah, I wish they had done that instead. I wish, or that maybe even they'll come out with like a Starfinder revised edition where they update the rules and fix it based on the lessons that they're learning now. I have no idea. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I trust Paizo. They've always given me really good material. I've enjoyed playing their games for, over a dozen years. So I'm thrilled, and I'm looking forward to whatever they do for us. So, all right. Next, it says, oh, it's Kyle. Kyle says, yes, finally, my curse is broken. He says, I'm doing great today. My wife and five youngest kids have been on a 28-day history camping trip through the South and up the East Coast to Canada. They just got back last night, and all is right with the world. Also, because I know you're curious, they loved poutine. Of course they loved poutine. Who wouldn't love poutine? It's awesome.
What's poutine?
Poutine is, I can't believe I've never given you poutine. It is French fries.
And oh, I know what poutine is. Never mind. No, you don't have to explain it or the word.
French fries.
No, don't tell.
I'll tell Noah. It's French fries with cheese curds on it, and then you cover it with brown gravy, and it's awesome.
I thought it was syrup.
No, it's brown gravy.
No, I'm thinking of something else then.
Yep. So, and it's really, really good. Okay, that was Facebook. Now, let's go see what happened on my forums.
There are
24 replies. This is good.
Or at least
24 replies. There might have been more since I didn't refresh the page. Let's see. There's 21, 22, oh no, that's 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 replies.
26.
So now, let me reply myself and say, done. All right, we are finished there. Let's go read and see what everyone had to say. This is going to be fascinating. All right, there we go. All right, now back to page one. See, it's two pages worth of material. All right, the first post is from Kyle. Kyle says, Listener Betrayal 232, ask Mike and host anything. Also, tell them about the most meaningful gift you've received for your birthday. He follows with, Mike's concerned that nobody's been responding on the forums for like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, so Listener Betrayal is going up way early to give everyone a chance to respond. All right. Next post is from Eliahad. Eliahad says, Mike, did you ever call your brother? He misses you. No, I don't think I've talked to him on the phone. In fact, I don't think I've sent him any private messages. I think this communication in Listener Betrayal is the most talk I've had with him since last weekend. I'm pretty sure it is. Or at least since my last recording. So, no, I haven't. I'm sure he does miss me. I'm a bad brother. That's just the way it works. Next is from DM Darks, who is so awesome. DM Darks says, Hey, how come you're not playing Gnomes 100, Dragon 0? Huh? Oh, not huh. It would be more of a huh? 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 All right. Gnomes 100, Dragon 0 is a game that DM Darks has put up and is running in our gaming section of our forums. And only because I didn't have time for it when you first posted it. Like, I started reading the first post and I realized, oh, this is going to be really complex. Okay, hold on. And then by the time I got back to it, we were already a couple of moves in. And as I just kind of glanced over it, I got really intimidated because, oh my God, it feels like it's a lot to take in to figure out where it is right now. And it might or might not be. I haven't actually read through it to find out. So that's why. But I should. So, you know, I'll get on that tomorrow. Kaz says, when are you going to get Kyle to co-host with you again? When I start that interview show that Noah was asking about, I'll bring him on for one of the first interviews and have him talk about his book Norn's Quest, his books Norn's Quest, and when he's going to come up with the third book. So, man, I hope that's coming. Would you watch a standalone Lando movie? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
Wait, just Lando?
Donald? Yes, if it was the story of Lando Calrissian, you bet. You bet. Do I want to see a Lando story that either after the Solo movie, so after his whole bit with L337 and losing the Millennium Falcon, which that's not a spoiler because we know from the original trilogy that he lost the Millennium Falcon to Han Solo in a game of cards. So you already know that he lost the Millennium Falcon. So somewhere between the end of Solo and the beginning of the Star Wars, episodes 4, 5, and 6, I would love to see that and how he comes to be the mayor proprietor of Cloud City. That would be pretty sweet. Or I would love to see some stuff before that with him in the Millennium Falcon, or how he acquired the Millennium Falcon, and some story with him and L337 and whoever else, whatever kooky cast of characters they want to throw in there. Because I thought Donald Glover was amazing as Lando. I thought he embodied Lando really well. I like what they did with it. I would watch that in a heartbeat. I would jump all over it. Awesome. If not, tell us why. What do you mean, if not? Of course I'd want to see a Lando movie. Oh, man. Then Kyle says, Dude, I made it in for listener betrayal. So cool. This is, let's see, May 29th. So this is the middle of the week. Okay, first of all, Solo was great. I thought it was going to be crap, but I thought it was fun and cool. You've probably already done a review of the show for the show. So answer me this. What did you think of the dynamic between Han and Chewie, and then Han and Lando? I actually really thought these were the best part. Dude, I was very happy with the relationships between all the main characters. I can't tell you how much I love this movie. I think it is one of the best structured Star Wars story for a long time. I think the original Star Wars, episode 4, if you insist, the original Star Wars movie was tight and concise. It was a hero's journey. It was, very well structured and well written. I thought it was perfectly done. And again, it's not terribly original in the story, but it was original in the setting and the characters and the trappings of it. It was amazing. And it lit up our imaginations. And it had a great story structure, that brought our Luke Skywalker from, nothing farm boy to, hero of the rebellion. Awesome. It was a great story. And I don't think that they've had that since then. I think while Empire was great, Empire was just a part two waiting for a third part, and the third part wasn't as good as the other two. I just don't think they've done this well since the first movie. There are others I liked more. Force Awakens is still my favorite Star Wars movie. I love Force Awakens. But Force Awakens has a bunch of extra stuff in it that, it's not as tight or concise because, they're building a trilogy. I thought this was great. Really, really good. And so, the dynamic between Han and Chewie, I like the way their chemistry, formed and how it developed. I like them as buddies. I think it's great. I got Han and Lando, again, other than saying it's great, I don't know what else I'm going to delve into. I just thought they were wonderful. Now, hold on. For those who have not seen Solo, fast forward 1 minute now. Okay, here's the spoilers. Did Chewie eat people? Was he eating people? Seriously? Because, we haven't fed him in a few days, and then they throw him down there. So, when they fed him last time, did they feed him people, and that's what he was eating? They were expecting him to eat him. Did Chewie eat people? Okay, I don't know if the minute's up yet or not, but I gotta stop and move on, but that's disturbing. Okay. but other than that, just a great movie. So Kyle then answers the question from the original post and says, finally, the most meaningful gift I've ever been given is, the gift of getting to listen to this show every week. Oh, he ends it with a question mark. The gift of getting to listen to this show every week? Oh, and once somebody gave me a Will Wheaton is not my friend shirt, and that was pretty badass, but I can't remember who got it for me. I don't think I got that for you, dude. If you're hinting at me, and if I didn't get it for you, I think you got it for you. I'm pretty sure you got it for you. But, who knows? It was many, many years ago. Eliahad says, oh, meaningful gift. My grandpa on my mom's side only ever got me one gift for my birthday, but it is the cello chair that I have used for the last 18 years. Yes, cello chair. It is a slightly taller chair with a seat that pitches forward slightly instead of backwards like most other chairs. Ideal for playing the cello. That is a really cool gift. I am impressed by that. And you've had the same cello chair for 18 years, so it is perfectly formed to your buttocks, I assume. Eliahad says, in another post, he says, so, Godball? Oh, man. Well, I want to play some more Godball, but if you want me to talk Godball, let me just say the most thrilling thing that has happened in the development of this game, for those of you who aren't familiar, Eliahad, Dave and I are designing a board game, not role-playing game, a board game together called Godball, and it's awesome. And the thing that we discovered most recently is that you can now play with the new rules we implemented to fix some of the problems we were having. It turns out that now you can play a head-to-head game where each player just has one god and one hero. And they go head-to-head, and it's an awesome, fun game with just two players. Just one-on-one, no other trappings. We had built to a point where we thought that in order to make the game fun for two players, we were going to have to come up with some sort of structure where each player has multiple heroes and multiple things going on the board, and we were very concerned about that. But it turns out that while we were fixing all the other problems, we apparently fixed our one-on-one problem as well, because it's awesome. My God, we are playing head-to-head, and they're not... We're thinking maybe Poseidon's a little overpowered, maybe. We're thinking there's some things that we want to tweak with the other gods and their cards, but for the most part, it's pretty solid. I mean, we played Poseidon against Aphrodite, it was Poseidon and Aphrodite, I think. It doesn't matter. And we wound up battling to almost a standstill. We ended in a 1-1 tie after 12 rounds. I think Dave said he played somebody and did, like, Zeus versus Aphrodite. We played Poseidon versus Hera. That's what it was. Okay, anyway. Doesn't matter. It wound up being a 1-1 tie. But he played Zeus versus Aphrodite, and Zeus wound up winning 4-3 in 12 rounds. And it's really exciting to see the game coming together like this. I mean, I know every time I talk about it, it's gotten better, but it just keeps getting better. So, Godball is cool. I'll keep you posted. Next is from Kyle. Kyle says, wait a minute. Oh, this is embarrassing. I just remembered who got me the Will Wheaton is not my friend t-shirt. It was me. Oh, he doesn't say it in that. He's pretending to be actually embarrassed and modest. He's, wow, this is really embarrassing. Yeah. But it was a good shirt. It was very cute. Kyle then says, first, an explanation of my process, then a question, then a request for the podcast. What do I have to do to get on Aiden's podcast Slack or message train for listener betrayal? Just ask him. You could have sent him a text message too. And Aiden's not here. Repeat this question next time because this is great. I will try and remember to tell him to put you on his message list, the platinum Nerd Pride members. But it says, thanks for the answer. Now, both of you pretend to be identical twins that always finish each other's sentences.
Wow, I can't believe we're...
doing a podcast together?
Yeah!
Okay. Thank you, Noah. ask me that same question when next week, and I'll make sure that Aiden is here, and we'll try that one again. Kyle then says, listener betrayal. Day 3. The warm rays of spring's first hopeful sunshine have long since been shadowed by the slate gray... By the way, I have not read these ahead of time, in case that sounded prepared, but when it says listener betrayal, ... day 3, I just could sense that this was a very earnest and dark gray journal entry of some sort, so thus the voice. The warm rays of spring's first hopeful sunshine have long since been shadowed by the slate gray of winter's second wind. Where once I thought I'd be welcoming the comforting tones of Mike's vocal stylings, I'm instead met with silence. Not even just silence, but a void of recognition or affirmation. Not even the pathetically sought attaboy from my older sibling. I am left to drown in my confusion and the cacophony of questions that arise from the absence of the show.
Kyle, what? Is this actually Kyle?
Yes.
Okay, good.
There is no show. There never was. What if I'm still in the hospital? People are posting up posts just like this on Animal Ball, wondering when I'm going to come out of my coma and continue the Animal Cast. No, there must be a show. And if there is a show, then there will be a bedwed behead. Bedwed or behead. Roseanne Barr, after being hit with a racist stick that makes her 12 times more racist and more vocal about it than she already is. Donald Trump Jr., freshly off his divorce and looking to punish the next piece of ass he can get. Or 50s-era Joseph Stalin, who withholds sex until you agree to carry out some political purges with him. Okay, so, Roseanne Barr as a super racist, Donald Trump Jr. as a poon hound, or Joseph Stalin and he withholds sex unless I agree to carry out political purges with him. So, with this, I have no good options. So first, who do I most want to kill? Because, 50s era Joseph Stalin, no, he would be intolerable in all shades, but also with the other two. Damn it. No, you know what? I have to kill Joseph Stalin because he's the world's greatest mass murderer ever, so I have to kill him. I just have to. There's no other way around it. So now, do I marry Roseanne Barr or do I marry Donald Trump Jr.? This is the real stickler, is racist Roseanne Barr or poonhound Donald Trump Jr., DJTJ, as I like to call him. You know what? I am going to marry... I can't do it. I can't say either one of them. I can't. And yet, I must. Is this my punishment? I get it. Okay, I get it. I didn't give you the podcast. I didn't recognize listener betrayal because, well, the whole point is I'm not supposed to go in there. I thought about, because I saw the posts pile up day after day, and I would see, you know, new post, and I wanted to just go in and just say, yep, still recording, or something like that. That was going to be my joke, was, still recording, but I didn't want to post in because then you guys would think that I was in there preparing answers for you or, you know, peeking or whatever it is. I wanted to leave it pristine. And so, is that not, maybe I should have sent you a private message that says, hey, I see what you're doing. I should have done that. Attaboy, Kyle. You did a good job. I'm thrilled about this. I've been giggling about this all week. I just didn't say anything. You know what? Once I stall long enough, those choices don't get any better. All right, I've killed Joseph Stalin, and therefore, I'll marry Roseanne Barr, because if I marry Donald Trump Jr., then I have to hang out with Donald Trump. And there's no good side to that. So I will have a wild night of passion with DJTJ, and I will marry Roseanne Barr and regret it every single moment for the rest of my life. There. Are you happy? Okay. Kyle then says, listener betrayal, day 4. Sorry for being so glum and emo yesterday. You know what I needed? A good night's sleep. And now I got a solid 7.5 last night, and I'm feeling great. And I'm sure the show is coming back and hasn't been canceled forever, so that's good. Question. Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip? That is a good question. And, yo, His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. That's right. See? How awesome is that? Look, I mean, he's nervous, but on the surface, he looks calm and ready to...
He looks calm spaghetti.
That's the much better version of that song. Oh, to drop bombs, because he keeps on Mom's spaghetti. I love that song to start with. It's just very catchy, but I also really love the Mom's spaghetti version of that song. So
yes.
It is, and as you can tell, so does Noah. So, we have heard that a million times. Kyle then says, I have an answer to my last question, but I don't want you to read it yet. I'd rather hear your answers. Okay. And then Kyle says, Mom's spaghetti. The answer was Mom's spaghetti. Ha ha! Yes! We nailed it, buddy.
Yeah!
Here, hold on. High five. Sweet. Okay.
Mom's spaghetti. There's vomit on a sweater already. Mom's spaghetti.
That's right. Alright, then the next is from Phoebe, and Phoebe says, if you chose a celibate marriage with Stalin, does he refrain from mass murder? Well, of course he doesn't refrain from mass murder. Look, he's going to do the purges, obviously, because he's Stalin, and that's why I have to kill him. And so therefore, if I don't go with him, then he just doesn't have sex with me, which is not a punishment, so, you know, I was thinking, because that was kind of my thing, is that I'm thinking that, you know, if I don't have sex with him, I could maybe marry him because the other two are so unpleasant that I would consider marrying Stalin. But then I realized that, no, he's going to go out and kill people anyway. He's a mass murderer. And so therefore, that's why I had to put him in the ground. So that's my reading of it. Kyle then replies and says,
"Dad, Grizzly?
Says no, but you're not required to participate." See, exactly. Good. All right, then I'm on the right side
Dad,
of this
quickly,
one.
Quickly, before we get off that one.
Yeah.
One thing, I imagine you walk up to him and you're like, if I were in a room with a gun with that has two bullets, and I was with you, DJ TJ, and the last person, but super racist,
right.
I'd shoot you twice.
That's terrible. No, those you don't understand. Those are terrible, horrible options. So
yeah,
and
that's why you'd shoot him twice.
All right. Next is from Kyle. Kyle says, "Listener betrayal day 5. Dear diary," I hope I've got the right tone. "I'm going to be totally honest. I'm beginning to think that creating a listener betrayal thread was a mistake. It seemed funny at first, but then I made the total worst mistake you make in a project like this. I just assumed it would take on a life of its own. In my head, I saw people flocking to this thread, people that have never even posted before and joining in. It would go viral, and we would have hundreds, if not thousands, of responses as people joined the hive mind and sense of community behind participating in Nerd Pride Radio's podcast. If I post it, they will come. But they didn't. In fact, although some brave souls did participate, the laboring ore of keeping this thread relevant has fallen on me. Why do I have to be so lazy? But wait, if I post it, they will come. I posted it. In Field of Dreams, a movie, I must confess, diary I've never seen, Kevin Costner built a baseball diamond in his cornfield, and then a bunch of ghosts showed up and played baseball. I think Robert Redford even played the ghost of Pistol Pete Maravich and hit a home run that went right into the lights, causing an explosion, but wouldn't that have set the cornfield on fire? Maybe I'm remembering that wrong. But what if there are ghost responses that have been edited onto all the other responses, but in the invisible font? OMG, I bet there's a ton of ghost responses. I'm going to go back and check the other posts, diary. This could really be something." And then his next post is from Kyle, says, "Shit, no ghost responses. Damn lazy ghosts." Okay, and then his next response, see, at this point it's just a Kyle monologue because he's entertaining like that. "Listener betrayal day 6. I really thought this might be it. Saturday at 4, looks good. He's recorded on Saturday afternoons lately. But then I see that Mike is going camping." Camping? Jesus cotton Christ, what is going on? So now he's going to get back late on Sunday and probably skip another week? Oh, and now I realize that I'm writing this post to a phantom audience. Usually, I write them to address Mike directly with questions worded like I'm in the room and asking him personally. But I'm not doing that now, and I realize that it's bothering me. Who are you? Who am I talking to? Are you the ghosts that are refusing to make your ghost posts? Or did you read my post from yesterday and decide, oh, shit, I'm going back to check for ghost posts again?" So now he's going back to check for ghost posts again, and his next post says, "Ah, fucking ghosts." Followed by Eliahad, who then says, "Shh, you'll scare them away." Okay. Next post, and this is from Saturday, still yesterday, so this is last night, says, from Walrus, "One-handed betrayal. Sabine. Sleeps on the other." That's his new baby, Sabine, whose pronunciation I did not ask for before started recording. But hey, congratulations, Walrus. That is awesome. New baby. God, gotta love babies. Especially when they're other people's babies. They're so adorable. Oh, I love other people's babies. Walrus then says, "Should I be drinking coffee? She just had a craptastic crapplosion, and the grin on her face told me she wants the world to know that." And then there's the emoji of the two happy faces clinking their beers together and saying cheers. So, all right, good for you, Sabine. I appreciate your crap. You're a good girl. Next up, Walrus. Walrus says, "Opening my new world, Bob, for submissions. Good or bad idea?" Oh, it's a good idea. Dude, world building is always better in groups. Take ideas. I saw this while I was out camping. I had one spot while we were out there. There was one spot I could go to and I could get some reception, but just taking it out of airplane mode was just eating up my battery out there anyway. So I didn't do it but a couple of times, and mostly just to post up Facebook pictures. But having said, because Noah caught a fish, darn it. He caught two fish, but I couldn't get a picture of the second one. But anyway, but I did read Bob, Your World, New World Bob by Walrus. You guys should check it out in our forums. But the world has an equatorial circumference that is so large, it was like 400 and something million kilometers around, because he's Canadian, so he says kilometers, or kilometers, kilometers. Anyway, so yes, I did my quick math and went, okay, so Bob is a globe the size of the orbit of the Earth. So it is like you have people living on the outside of a Dyson sphere, except with normal gravity, however that works out. But so we have normal gravity and normal atmosphere on the outside of a Dyson sphere. That's what Bob is. And so he's got all of this land area to play with, and I assume it's going to be normal landscape in most areas, but it doesn't have to be. It could turn out that it really, I don't know if it really is a Dyson sphere, but that's the size of it. And so therefore, you know, are there sections of it that are all, you know, land and seas and mountains and extremes and all this awesome stuff? But then there are some places where, like, it's like the surface of the world has been scraped away to reveal the sphere itself underneath, the mechanical whatever it is that forms the actual the base of all of this. Who knows? Anyway, it's out there, but I just saw it while I was out there, and it set me to doing mathematical calculations and not thinking about world building so much. But it looks cool, and I will be participating in that. So
wait,
that's a great idea.
Building a world?
Yeah, he's just creating an idea for a world, and I don't know if he's using it for a game or if he's using it for a story or a novel or something, but he wanted to get some ideas. So, and I think it's for a game. Anyway, next post is from Walrus. Damn, that girl likes her gas. Set her up to burp, and she'll scream blue murder. Wow. Oh, man. Again, so glad it's your baby. I love babies. Love babies. And I loved my four, but oh, I'm so glad when they're other people's babies now, because I'm old and weak. Whew, man. All right.
You're not making more.
Kyle then posts up and says, Walrus, I'm jealous of your unbridled enthusiasm at having a newborn. It's the greatest feeling in the world. Soak it in. Absolutely, dude. It really, as much as I'm making this joke, babies are wonderful. Like, we had four of them for exactly that reason. My brother has eight of them. Because we love kids. We love having kids. We love raising them, shaping them. Him, obviously, twice as much as I do. But also, you know, once you've decided that you're finished with the kids, there's all that work that also comes with all that payoff. And, you know, once you've gotten past that work and you're like, okay, now I know this was the last time. I know I'm done. It's kind of nice to know that, okay, I did it. I got through it. And now I don't have to do that part again. Because, you know, there's good and there's bad. Next is from Kyle. Kyle says, Mike posted that he's actually recording, which kind of sucks because I scheduled a medium to show up tomorrow for a ghost post seance. I don't feel motivated for it now that listener betrayal is closing. You might think I'd be frightened by being dismissive of the haunts at Nerd Pride Radio, but I'm not. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Just kidding. And then he says, just kidding, I'm terrified. All right. And then the next one is from me, and it says, done. And then after that, there's still a post. What the hell?
What?
How did that happen?
What?
When? Oh, I get it. Well, I posted done, and then I read all the way through the first page, and then I clicked over the second page. I'm not used to having two pages of listener betrayal.
Yeah.
And so I clicked over the second page, so now I'm looking at another post from Walrus. And I'm like, how did, because I'm so used to it all coming on one page, so I post my done, and then I don't bother to refresh it, so I never see if anyone puts anything after. And so I was just baffled at, how is there another post here? But it turns out it's Walrus, about 17 minutes ago, says, ha! Made it somehow. No, you didn't. You didn't, but I'm still reading it anyway because, you know what? The universe says you did. And that counts. So,
Wait, he made it 17 minutes ago?
Yes, he made it 17 minutes ago. But it took me at least that long to read the front page, so it would, anyway. So, congratulations, Walrus. You win the entire week. I know it looks like Kyle did the lion's share of effort, to put all this together and make this the most successful listener betrayal ever. But I'm giving all the credit to you, Walrus, you and your new baby. Congratulations, you and your wife. I assume she did something in the process. Was she there for it? Did she help somehow? Anyway, credit goes to you, Walrus. You're awesome. So, congratulations. All right. And then that's it. We're all done. I appreciate you guys showing up. I appreciate you putting up with this silliness this week. And I had a great time. I love you guys. It's wonderful. Noah is the only one left with me, so say goodnight, Noah. He's taking his time.
Good night, and before you go, make sure to stay tuned for my monologue.
Mom's spaghetti. And then, say goodnight, cardboard cutout of Aiden.
Good night, you little piece of garbage.
Oh, that's pretty good. And say goodnight, R2. Oh, that's right, I turned R2 off. There we go. All right. Good night, everybody.
Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip? Yo, his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready. He dropped bombs, but he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking. How? Everybody's joking now. The clock's run out. Time's up. Over. Blow. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. There goes rabbit. He choked. Oh, he's so mad, but he won't give up that easy. He won't have it. He knows his whole back city's ropes. It don't matter. He dope.
Yeah, we're going to have to stop there.
Okay.
Because I'm not smart enough to figure out the scroll button. But, yeah, see? And then we would have had to go to the information. All right. Good night, guys. We love you. You're awesome.